That bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Bet, we stopped here yesterday because the sugya that's associated with it, with this part of the Agadah has huge halachic implications. So there's a story about Rabbi Barchano, and it's talking about him bumping into this individual in the Midbar, or the Taya, some sort of merchant that was taking him on tours around. So the last thing that happens, I'm really ta'achvilach alecha matmetei Midbar. I'll go show you where the people who died in the Midbar, I mean the people who died because of the Chet HaMeraglim, I'll show you where they're buried. Azle Chazintinhu. Right? I saw them, V'damu Kaman Dimibsamei. They look like they were, here it says, they had red-faced and drunk. And that their faces were bright, and yet, right, that's Chayv Adam. Right, Chayv Inishlipsumei B'Purayo. So Psumei here means to be of in a drunken state, but here the faces looked bright and red and healthy. Veganu apirkid, and they were laying. So here apirkid is that they were face up. I mean, they were laying on their backs and face up. Happens to be a machlokus in the Gemara and Brachot when it says that you're not allowed to say Kriyat Shema apirkid, right? Whether apirkid means face down or face up. I mean, that you're not allowed to say Kriyat Shema when you're laying down. You have to do it mate al atzad. You have to do it laying on your side. What you're not permitted to do is do it laying flat on your back or flat on your face. Here, the Rabbeinu Tam brings proof that pirkid means flat on your back. That's what the restriction is over here. Rabbi Skifa Berche, and one of his knees was upright, the Chad Minayu. So one of the Meitim Midbar's knees was bent somehow. His foot was bent in the knee, and therefore there was a gap under the knee. V'ayol Taya Tute Berke Kirochim Gama. The merchant was able to riding a camel, v'zkifa rumche, and he had a some sort of javelin or spear in his hand. V'onagaba, and he didn't even touch him. And that the merchant on a camelback with a javelin or spear in his hand was able to ride straight under the knee without ever touching it. So the Rashbam again over here does interesting. If you look at it's the last wide line in the Rashbam at the top there. It says, "Lekle frushe the goba birkaim kashir shiochol taila lechel tachad birkei amet." You can't veromchol b'yadov lo yano geabod. It's not that the Gemara is trying to give you a shiur about how much is the height of the knee. Di shiur kamar. If it was really telling you about a shiur, v'lo mamash chazem maseh hochi, and he didn't really see it. Avle meimar ba'ayo parsha tutei birkei. That a parsha went under his knee. But over here, when he's describing it, v'ayol tayo, means that literally, that that's what Rabbi Barchano saw. That he literally saw. Again, this is following the Rashbam's sheet over here, that he's taking very literally everything that's going on in the Gemara. Again, here he says not just the shear, even though that would have been pretty amazing anyway, but he's saying no, that Rabbi Barchano actually saw, right, the tayo on a camelback right under the knee. Now this is the interpretation. Pascha chada kana de techelta de chad minayu. He went ahead and he cut off one of the corners of the tzitzit of the Meitei Midbar. And then their animals were unable to move. You know, they were frozen in place. They couldn't move anymore. So the merchant said to him, or the person that brought him there says, so maybe you took something from one of the Meitei Midbar. Ahadre. You have to return it, the Gemire, that we have in Mesorah, the man de shakol mi de minayu lo mistagile. So that if you don't take something from them, you're unable to move anymore. You can't leave the area or the space if you take something from, if you plunder any of the Meitei Midbar. Azel adrite, right? I returned it, this corner of the Begit. V'hadem mistagilan, and then we were freed to go, and we were able to leave the area. When I reached Rabbanon, Armali, kol abo chamro. So Abba over here is referring to Rabba Bar Barchano because his real name was Rabbi Ava Barchano. So when it used interchangeably, Abba and the Barchano over here. So now when he says that, it says Abba Chamra. Abba means a term of, like Ravina becomes Avina is Ravina. So over here, Abba Chamra is Rabba Bar Barchano. So Rabbi Ava Barchano, Bar Barchano. So he says, you, Abba, you're like a donkey, right? V'chol bar barchana sichsa, and you're all bar barchanas are fools. I mean, what were you doing? L'mayuchasa abba donkey. Why did you take the corner of the beggar? Why did you take the tzitzit from this meitei bibar? L'meida yike beit shemai yike beit hilal. You wanted to find out if the lach is like beit hilal or beit shemai? Ibai lach l'mimnei chutin u'mimnei chuliot. Why don't you just count the strings and count the knots? right? Because the machlokes of menachot between, right, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, how many strings, whether it's right, six strings, it's three, or eight strings, it's four, that's eight, four strings, that's eight, or three strings, that's six. You could just count it. What are you ripping off the corner to find out about it? Just take the information. You don't need to actually take the corner with you. So they said he made a mistake by not actually getting the information without actually taking the corner of the tzitzit. Now, why is the Gemara so significant? So this is a huge tosus on the side here as a halachic nafkaminot. But the Rabbeinu Tam raises the problem over here is that these are people who have passed away and they have tzitzit on their begadim. So what are they doing with tzitzit on their beged if they are right dead? Which is runs to a problem or the basic sugya of what's called loeg darash, cherif maaseu. Right, that one is not allowed to poke fun at those that have passed away. Or like look like you're cursing them because you're doing mitzvot in front of them. So this is one of the main gemaras here as to deal with this issue, which is here you see that they are passed away, and yet they still are wearing tzitzit, even after they are niftar. There's a gemara in Menachot, there's a gemara in Menachot, which is on Daf Mem Aleph, which says, Amar Rabbi Tuvi Bar Kisna Amar Shmuel, Kli Kufsa Chayvim Tzitzit. So Machlok is in the Gemara Menachot, whether tzitzit is a chobat agavra, a chobat abeged, right, or a chobat agavra. It's only when you wear tzitzit, do you have to put tzitzit on, or is there a chobat mana? Is there a chobat to put tzitzit on any four-cornered beged, even when it's sitting in the drawer? So it says, Kli Kufsa Chayvim Tzitzit. Your tzitzit that are in the drawer, four-cornered beged, require tzitzit. Umodish Shmuel Bezakein Shasadech Vodosh B'tura. A zakein who makes them for kvodo, makes them for his tachuchim. Someone who's going about to pass makes tachuchim that he doesn't have to put on tzitzit. My timer. Asher techaseh abel amar chmana. I love a chsuya bideh. They're made to use to wear. You have to wear. It has to be a beged that you're going to wear in order to be chayav tzitzit. This beged is not going to be worn. It's going to be put on. Aishata vade raminin le mishum loig l'rash cherf maseu. So then the Gemara Kalin concludes as at the time that he passes away, for sure we would put it on him. Because like the rush, chef maaseu. So therefore, we definitely put it on. Because if he doesn't have tzitzit, then it's even worse. It's like making fun of him. He's wearing a four-cornered beggar and he doesn't have tzitzit on it. All right. So now the Sifri actually says, "Mama nismecha parshat mekoshesh the parsha tzitzit." Right. The in the Torah, the parsha mekoshesh is found right by parsha tzitzit. Marcha meit chayav betzitzit. One who passes away is still chayav in tzitzit, still has to have tzitzit on his beged. And in the Masechet Smachot, which turns out to be a major influence in what we do today, Masechet Smachot says, Abishol ben Bodni Tayomer Levanav instructed his children, Kavruoti Tachet Margotav Shel Abba, right, bury me next to my father or to next to the Rav, Vietiru Techelet Mitalati, and take off the tzitzit from my talus. So he says, no, bear me with tzitzit on, take them off. Right, the other sugi, or the major sugi where Loeg L'Rash comes up is in Brachot. In Brachot it says, right, when a person is near a mate, or in a beta kvarot, he shouldn't wear tzitzit, hanging out, shouldn't say kriyat shema, shouldn't have tefillin on. Right, it says, atani lo yalecha dam beveta kvarot v'tefillin berosho, sefer Torah b'zero v'koreh. You can't have tefillin on your head, you can't have a sefer Torah that you're reading. If you do it over mishum loeg l'rash cherev maaseu, because you're making fun of the meitim that aren't able to do that. So Mar says hatam toch arba amot hu dasur. That's only within four amot of the meitim. Chutz l'arba amot. Once you're outside of four amot, you're chayav and there's no problem anymore. Damar to face meit arba madmot kriyat shema. That the meit only influences the sphere of arba amot around him. Now, Amar Rabba, Amar Chavav, Amar Rav Huda, Zagmar, and Brachot also, and Daf Yidchet also. Korah Meit, Veinu Malaveu. Person sees a mate and doesn't accompany the mate. Right, then it is Loeg L'Rash, Cherif Maaseu. That's one another usage of the term. And the last is the story of Rav Chia, Rav Yochanan, Rav Shakel, Ezra, Beit HaKvarot. They're walking in the Beit HaKvarot. Rav Kshirat Chilta, the Rav Yonatan. Rav Yonatan's tzitzis were hanging out. Amar Le Rav Chia, Dalia, pull away your tzitzis. Kadei Shalim Rula, Machar Bayin Etzlin, Vachshav Machar Fim Otanu. Now, you know, soon they're coming to visit us, and now they're making fun of us because they have tzitzit on and we can't wear tzitzit. So these are the basic gemaras of Loeg L'Rash, Cherev Maaseu. The other sugyo that deals with it is the Gemara Psachim, which says that what happens if a beged, shavod bo kilayim. You have a beged that has kilayim mixed in it. So you don't know what happened. Nobody knows where it is anymore. It got mixed in. There's a piece of kilayim, and we don't know where it is, so you can't remove it. So you're not allowed to sell it to a guy because he might resell it to a Jew. You can't make it into a mardat l'chamor. You can't make it for a saddle for a chamor. But what you can do with it is make it tachrichim namet. You can make it into tachrichim for a mate. What do you mean you can make it tachrichim for a mate? The mate, right? Right, isn't, it's, now he's not going to have to, kilayim doesn't apply to a mate? No, because he's dead. He doesn't have to worry about kilayim. So that sounds like a violation of the Rosh Chodesh Maseu. And Yerushalmi Brachot says, a person shouldn't go to the Beit HaKvarot and urinate, because that's a violation of the Rosh Chodesh Maseu. So now these problems, right, on the last one, is Perek Lo, where do we know Loig the Rosh from? That's the Seichel Tov says, came into Inu Lo Matzil Asok B'Mitzvot, since they can't do the mitzvot, Fiktiv lo ametim yahaluka, right? The ametim aren't able to give praise to Hashem. Chausav datayo, they're going to be weakened by it. Bachmeishatam kilu chervoseu, right? And the one who weakens the minds of those, or the feelings of those that have passed away, chervoseu is like he's cursing the ones who made him. So now, what's the problem here? Is what do we do with a mate? Do we bury a mace with tzitzit, or do we not bury a mace with tzitzit? And this becomes a serious issue, which is raised here in the Tosfot, raised by all the Rishonim, and also has to deal with all the stirot in the Gemara over here. And one Gemara says you can put a kilayim on a mace. The other Gemara seems to say that you bury an individual, you definitely put tzitzit in their beged. And the other one we have from Masechet Smachot, where he says, take the tzitzit out of my beged before you bury me. So how do we reconcile between all of these different Gemarot? So that comes here. I'll just show you here, the Tosfos here, and we'll go through some of the highlights in the Tosfos over here, since it says such a huge nafkamina l'alachot here. So you see the Tosfos, Piskei Chadakarna Tetchilta. I give you the background of all the sugyot, so now you can see. Mashma Hocha Sheish Tetzit the Meitim. Says from here, you can see that they had Tetzit on the Meitim. V'yesh L'tchot. So he said, maybe we can knock this away. She'yunichtasim b'chaim b'kever. So he's quoting the Medrash, that the Meitim Midbar used to go lay down in their kever every Tisha B'Av. And then they used to say, Chayim nivdalim mitoch hametim, right? Nivdalu mitoch hametim. That those that are alive should get up, and those that passed away should stay in the kever. So if they were wearing tzitzit, because they were alive when they walked into the kever. It's not like somebody's passed away already, and then he goes into the kever. So now, but he says, what about, says, if I'm just skipping down a little bit, and it tells us down to Menachot, it says, Aval, Avirayim mipay barak tchilet. What about the Gemara Menachot? That there it says, Modesh Shmuel, Bezakein shasalik vodo, person who makes perishal tachachim, vayishat avadir aminenle, right, that over then, at the time that you put in or tachachim, you should definitely have tzitzit on the tachachim. Chen yesh midrash, he quotes the midrash that we quoted from the Sifrei, which is what? That why is there a kesher between mekosher shitzim and tzitzit? To tell you that meitim are chayav be tzitzit. So now, what are we going to do with this? What do we do with, and the Gemara in Brachot, what are you going to do with the Gemara in Brachot? The Gemara in Brachot says that you're not allowed to walk with tzitzit in the Beit HaKvarot, because that's Loeg Darash, Cherif Maseu. So why? How come if the Meitim are wearing tzitzit, why is it Loeg Darash, Cherif Maseu? You're wearing tzitzit, they're wearing tzitzit, what's the big deal? Why is it such a problem that you walk in with tzitzit to the Beit HaKvarot? So the one answer... Oh, very good. Exactly. Very good. That's exactly what the first answer Tosfos gives. Yishlomar, dafka v'yesh len tzitzit, mekom mechom mechafim, otam shmarim natzvam shein chayavim v'mitim turim. You're right. They're wearing tzitzit, but they're still patur min tzitzit. So fine, they're wearing tzitzit, you're wearing tzitzit. But you're wearing tzitzit because you're chayav v'tzitzit. They're wearing tzitzit and they're paturim min tzitzit. So why our minhag? That's what the Rabbeinu Tam goes on. Well, then why is there Armin Hug? It sounds from these Gemara, it's pretty clear that you could just wear tzitzit, and the mate wears tzitzit. Yet Armin Hug is, and this is where we run into a problem, Shonigam Asir Tzitzit, Me'at Talitot Shomaitim. We don't put tzitzit on the mate. I'll just tell you, the Minhag today, by most clever Kaddishot, is that they put on a beged that is a talis, or some sort of chayv tzitzit, and then they pusel one of the corners of the tzitzit, right? They cut one of the strings, they cut off one of the corners, whatever they do to be pusel the tzitzit. So he says, what's our minhag? Why don't we whip it on tzitzit? I mean, it seems clear from the Gemarot here that you do wear tzitzit, or someone who's a mate does have tzitzit on. It says, kashal minhag shenuagim asir tzitzit mitalitot shemetim. Va'omer Rabbeinu Tam, sheshama mizikne lutir. The fish, a tzitzit, a dut husha kayim kola Torah. The what? The tzitzit are an evidence that a person has been kayim the whole Torah, because we know this from, right, the famous Rashi quotes the Medrash, Shah and tzitzit, right, that it's only 600 tayag mitzvot, right, that the gematria plus the chuliot plus the chutin add up to 613 mitzvot. He says, Vachshav, she'inchem chashuvim kolkach. Today there are people, we're not so perfect. We don't really do all the 613 mitzvot. So therefore, to bury someone with tzitzit, which is a testimony that you kept all the mitzvot, would be wrong. Because it's almost edut sheker that you kept all the mitzvot. Now, v'omeri, and this brings up a very interesting issue, historical issue. The Ibn Ezra quotes a very similar thing in the when it talks about tchelet and tzitzit. He also brings up the same issue, that there was a period of time, in the time of the Rishonim, where people did not wear talis or tzitzis, tefillin, meaning that people, this minhag today, where we put on tefillin for a part of the day, just for tefillah, is a later development. And there, they originally kind of, where they wore tefillin all day. Then they had a problem with guf nikiyah, and a problem with the tefillin all day, so they stopped wearing them entirely. People did not wear tefillin whatsoever. And same thing with talis and tzitzis, they did not wear them whatsoever. And so the Ibn Ezra mentions that at that time, and here you'll see the re-mentioning again. In their day, time of the Gemara, everybody wore tzitzit, because their clothes were four-cornered clothes. Their tunics were four-cornered. Therefore, when they died, we put tzitzit on their begadim. In our day, people don't wear tzitzit in their lifetime. Then you shouldn't put them on in their death. Even those that did wear tzitzit during their lifetime, right, so we have this Gemara Nida and other places where the Gemara, they were attacking to do certain things to the Meitot, but they made it consistent amongst all the Meitot in order not to embarrass those that, right? But there it's a question whether you're embarrassing the Meit or embarrassing those that are alive that have that condition. But anyway, there wasn't, we didn't differentiate. So the same thing over here. So since people were no longer mekayim the mitzvah tzitzit, to put on tzitzit when they're a mate is that's an embarrassment. They didn't do tzitzit their whole lives, and now you're going to stick tzitzit on them when they die. Right? That doesn't make any sense. There's some people who are mekayim tzitzit. It says, don't be differentiate. Let's not, Reed says, don't differentiate. We don't differentiate. We don't embarrass those that didn't wear tzitzit. Right now, skipping a little more down at Tosfos, it says, Ravenu Chayim HaKohen Tzedek Perish Anan Kaimalon K'Rabbi Yochanan. We pass from like Rabbi Yochanan and Damar, mitzvot betelot latidavo. Mitzvot will no longer exist in the future. Whereas all the Gemaras that are dealing with the, like the Gemara Menachot, and our Gemara over here, that deal with the Meitim having tzitzit in them, they pass in the Shmuel. They pass like Shmuel says, mitzvot are enan betelot. What's the reason for the Meit to wear tzitzit? It's that when he gets out of the kever, he'll have his tzitzit on and be ready to go. He'll be able to do the mitzvot later on. So if you believe in the future there is mitzvot, like Reish Shmuel, then what do you want? You want to have tzitzit in the mate. So when he wakes up, he has four-cornered bag, he's able to walk away and has tzitzit going. Rabbi Yochanan said tzitzit ain't on, the mitzvot, the betelot, the mitzvot don't exist in the future. Then you don't need tzitzit when you wake up, because there is no mitzvah tzitzit. Doesn't make a difference. So therefore, we pass them like Rabbi Yochanan. Since we pass them like Rabbi Yochanan, we don't put tzitzit in our begadim, or we don't bury the people with tzitzit. So that's what the Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen Tzedek says. Now, the Rabbeinu Tam in other places, not here, Tosfos in other places, like in Brachot, the Menachot says that tzitzit are a unique feature, that tzitzit are very unique. And why is Loeg Darash only applied by tzitzit? Because tzitzit is an item that represents Tayyeg Mitzvot, like we said over here. And therefore, only tzitzit are a problem of Loeg Darash Cherf Maaseh, not Kilayim. Why can a mace wear Kilayim and be, because a mace is dead, he doesn't have any mitzvot, it's not a problem. So why are tzitzit the problem? What's unique about tzitzit of Loeg Darash Cherf Maaseh, about tzitzit, is because tzitzit are representative of Kol Mitzvot. So since tzitzit are representative of all the mitzvot, that is a, right, affront, a real affront to the Meitim, that you go around with your tzitzis hanging out on top of the since it's shkula keneged kol mitzvot, that has a din of loeg darash. When it comes to kilayim, right, that doesn't really make sense. Although why do we meisir at tzitzit? So the Re brings down at the end here, what it turns out to be somewhat like our minhag. That in the Gemara Menachot, that they did put tzitzit in the mate. And then they took him off right away. To say that he was mekayim tzitzit, if you have beged chadash, since a brand new beged, they're going to put it on him, they put tzitzit on it, because they're about to put it on. Then, that's what we do in the Ashkenaz, lasim tzitzit b'talit shel meit, shenikar shekayim mitzvat tzitzit, to show that he was mekayim tzitzit, umiyad misirim. And then right away we take the tzitzit back out. So we put on the tzitzit to show that they do have them, did the mitzvah tzitzit, and then we cut them or posel them right away. So that's what we do. There are different minhagim where they posel the tzitzit, whether it's from the time of the house, maybe the time of the taro, or do they do it right by the kever? So there's actually stories that's brought down. There are two stories brought down of the Aruch HaShulchan brings down two stories, amazing stories, about the gra, as well as the... I'll just bring it down to you. The Aruch HaShulchan says here... the Gra and the Mahavahardana, the Maharaz Mahavahardana, the author of the Yisod Shor Shavodah, both of them commanded their children or their students to put tzitzit on them. The Gra says, bear me with tzitzit and do not posel them. Bear me with tzitzit and do not posel them. He told one of his Talmidim. The Talmidim, when they were there, they were doing the Tara. He felt uncomfortable and he walked out of the Tara because he didn't want to say anything. Of course, the other Talmidim didn't know about the Tzava, and they went ahead and they cut the tzitzit, they were posel the tzitzit. Then this student, after they finished Tara, started screaming that the Gra told him to keep the tzitzit on. V'amrug dolim shayusham zehu ot min hashamayim. It's a sign from heaven. V'vili shnot. Don't change it. But this was a siman. The Gra has this with Birkat Kohanim. Also, the famous stories that he tried to start Birkat Kohanim, and right, his shul burnt down and other things because he was paskening against the Ramah, right? And or he was put in jail. He was incarcerated every time he tried to start it. So it's over here. The Gra was trying to be mishanem in Amir Hag and to have tzitzit placed in his bag when he passed away. The Talmud that stepped out and it didn't work, and they say Lobistaya Milsa, that it's the siman min hashamayim that you're not supposed to do it. The same thing happened with the other one, Basheni. They were burying him. Im kol tzitziot, and he had tzitzis hanging out when they were burying him. Nistabcha chad mitzitziot biyateid. One tzitziot got caught on a peg, on a pillar. Biyateid shebetoch hakever nitka miatzma, and it ripped off by itself. Ra'u b'chush shemin hashamayim gazrukein. Again, that was from in hashamayim that they shouldn't do that. And he quotes here, Rishon, and the Rosh Hashanah says it was the Gra, and the Sheni Chasid Maraz Mirvaradna. The Ibai showed Yisher Shabodah. So also gave that command to bury him with tzitzit. So you see how serious this issue is, that we, today the minhag is to bury with al tzitzit or tzitzit or psulim, alright, whereas the Gra and the Maraz Mevarad, they wanted to go back to the original minhag, which seems to be the din minhag gemara. Over here we're trying to answer all the problems for not being in tzitzit when they go in the grave. And they wanted to go back, and we see here, the Aruch Shulchan brings down the both stories where Lo Mistayim Milsa, they were unable to get through with the tzitzit. I also want to mention over here, when it comes to Loeg L'Rosh, Chiv Maaseu, that my brother-in-law showed me that the Rambam never actually quotes Loeg L'Rosh, Chiv Maaseu. That he never actually, the Gemara here quotes it as the source for why you can't say Kriyat Shema Niramei, the source for why you can't wear tefillin in Beit HaKvarot, the tzitzit in Beit HaKvarot. Yet the Rambam, in codifying all these halachos, brings all of these halachot, but never once mentions Loeg the Rosh Cherif Maaseu. Now, it would make sense, I mean, the Shita at the Rambam, the rationalist, because Loeg the Rosh Cherif Maaseu was a suggestion that the Meitim can hear or see what we're doing, and therefore we can't do something. So the Rambam was not comfortable with that, but on the other hand, the Gemara is explicit about these halachot. So how does the Rambam deal with it? So the Rambam actually converts the Beit HaKvarot or Karov Levnei to a Makom She'enu Ra'ui for certain items. So for instance, if you're in a Makom Tzua'i, in a place where it is inappropriate to daven because it's a bathroom or because there is dung or other urine in those places, then a person who davens in those places, not only are they not doing the right thing by davening there, but they actually do not accomplish the mitzvah. It's a place that's only ra'oi to accomplish the mitzvah of kriyat shema, and ra'oi to wear its tefillin. So you have to be meiser them. You can't say kriyat shema. But if you do, you're also not yotzei. So the Rambam, in codifying these halachos, actually says that. He says that a person who says kriyat shema bebeit hakvarot, the person who puts on tefillin, is ainu yotzei. He's not yotzei. Why? Because the Rambam was hofeich, turned these places into a place, place that is not ra'ui for these items. If it's not Ro'oi, then you're not Yotze in them. The Ravid is Mesig on the Rambam for exactly that reason. The Ravid says, what are you talking about? Well, if you say Kriyat Shema Beit HaKvarot, true, you're not supposed to say it. You've violated Lo Yigdash Kevav Maaseh, but you're still Yotze the mitzvah. And that's the key difference about how they view the problem of wearing tzitzit, tefillin, and saying Kriyat Shema in the Beit HaKvarot. The Rambam reads it as a makom she'en Ro'oi, like a makom at So'ah, and therefore you're not Yotze when you say them in those areas. The Ravid's like every other, all the other Rishonim who said, wait, the Gemara says the problem is Lo Yigdash Kevav Maaseh. It's a problem that you are poking fun at the mitim that are there. But on the other hand, it doesn't change the fact that you accomplished the mitzvah. You're able to accomplish the mitzvah. You just violated the Lagdarash. Cheref ma'aseu. Just wanted to share that small thought or small chiddush from my brother-in-law. All right, that's just a quick overview of the Lagdarash. Cheref ma'aseu. About that sugya, which has throughout Shas comes up in Brachot, Pesachim, all these different places, just because the Tosas dealt with it, wanted to give you that. All right, now back to the Agadah. All right, so Amalei Tach Velecha Har Sinai. Let me show you where Har Sinai is. Azle Chazei Dehadrule Akrava. You saw that there was like a circle of scorpions in Medvakame Kibei Chamra Chavarte. They were like white donkeys that were protecting. It was really strong things. Shemati Bat Kol Shul Merit. Shem says, we heard Batkol coming up and says, oh, what was me who took a Shvu'ah? And now that I took a Shvu'ah, me meferli, who can be mefer the Shvu'ah for me? So it sounds like Kodesh Baruch Hu speaking, that has a Shvu'ah, and how can it free me from that Shvu'ah? So Rebbe Tosfos points out that this, we saw this before in the Gemara in the Darim, that a person can't ein chovesh matir etzmo beit asurim. Right, the one who's incarcerated can't free himself from the jail. One cannot be made for a neder for himself, right? Or matir a neder for himself. So that's one of the, here is a proof that you can't be matir a neder for yourself. Hashem's asking for someone else to be matir a neder for him. So again, the, so what was the shvu'ah that they were trying to be matir over here? So the Rashbam says here, the shvu'ah that they were trying to be matir over here was the shvu'ah of galus. Hashem had put them into galut, and he wanted to matter the nether of or the shvua of galus. The Tosfos over here says that it wasn't a problem of galus, but rather the shvua of Hashem nishbati b'api. But nishbati b'chuzrani amashu mefir b'tzmo. What is it? Right? Tosfos says that it was right the shvua that they wouldn't let the meitei midbar enter into the Eretz Yisrael. Right, that's the shvua that the Beit HaMidbar could not enter Eretz Yisrael, so therefore he wanted them to make for that neder, or that shvua, that they could enter into Eretz Yisrael. So now, somewhere it says, B'kiyata l'kamei de Rabbanan, so Rabbi Barchanah says, when I came back to Banam Ali, kol abba chamro, again, this, you're like a donkey, kol bar barchanah sixlecha, you're a fool, abalach lamar, mufarlach, why did you say, you know, mufar, you know, mutar, what were you waiting for? Musavar, dilma shvata demabuhu. Maybe Hashem was saying about the Shavuot that I won't bring the Mabul in the world anymore. Ramana Genim Kaili Elam Ali. And that the Lashon that was used here, it doesn't make sense. Oi li, woe is me that took such a Shavuot? What do you mean, woe is me? Woe is me is a term of negativity that I'm upset that I didn't do something positive. Not oi li, that I'm worried that I took a Shavuot about the Mabul. That's not a term. He said that you mixed it up. Alright, so Amalei, Ta'achvali Echa Blu'a de Korach, Blu'a de Korach, I'll show you where the Bnei Korach, or Korach was swallowed up. Chazai Trey Bizei, saw two cracks on the earth, Rabbi Kam Afke Kutra. There was smoke coming up. There was Shabal Gavva de Imra, he took some wool, right, Amshine B'maya, and then he dipped it in water, the Atzita B'rasha, the Rumcha, he stuck it on the top of his spear that we saw before, the javelin that he had before. Vaile, Adam, and he stuck it over these pits. When he took it away, it was singed. That's how hot it was over there. So he says, go see what you hear from them. We heard them, Moshe, v'torato amet. Right? Moshe amet, v'torato amet. That's right. It was, they were singing, it was Simchas Torah. Right? Vain. It is, the Gemara is going to say it. It's right here. Vain Badain. Right, and we are fools or liars. We were wrong. Every 30 days, Gehenom turn comes around on this spot. Right, that's why we hear them. It's like a shawarma on a skewer. Right, it's like a chicken on a skewer. Rami Acha, and they say Moshe Amet, the Torah Amet, Moshe Torah Amet, Vehin Badayin, and like Shaul just suggested, that it's called Tlatin Yomim. The Rashi says called Rosh Chodesh. Every 30 days it shows up right there, and the Gehenim turns around and shows up over there.
Is it said where it says that the people that Korach took with him, it was a,
Kriyei Moed, that Moed refers to Rosh Chodesh. Very good. Anshe Shem Kriyei Moed. Alright, very nice. Shkoyach. Go show you where the heavens and earth meet. Hadadi, they reach each other. Shkato the Siltai took his basket. Anachta Bekavto the Rikia. Right, so I got there and I placed down my basket that was, you know, with me by that edge. Adamatzlina biite v'lashkechata. I davened, and then I wasn't there anymore. The basket. Aminalei ikagan ve'ochel. The thieves around here. You know what's going on? Where's my basket? Aminalei I galgal derikia. This is the the fixed firmament. Who the hadar natar adamachar? If you wait till tomorrow, achal meshkachelo, you'll find it again. Meaning that since this is the day of Chazal, right? It's machlokes in Chazal where the constellations move or the rikia moves. Right? Meaning are the constellations fixed in the rikia and the rikia is what rotates, or is it that the constellations move and the rikia is fixed? So here the Gemara or the Chazal is shita down that the rikia actually rotates and the constellations fixed. And therefore, when you place something down there, it turns. I mean, the rikia moved, so that's why it wasn't there when he finished. It's wait till tomorrow; it'll be back again tomorrow. So the over here, and I just quickly give a little explanation here that he's talking about davening, that he's going to daven, that he was showing him the place where one can have his tefillos accepted. So he went up to daven and see his tefillos accepted, and when he came back, the basket's gone. The basket is representative of right the fact that it's kabel tefillot, whether the tefillos are accepted. Right. So what happened? He came back and saw the basket was gone. Right, that it wasn't there. He says, what do you mean? I davened. How come my tefillos weren't accepted? I went to the place. I davened to Hashem. He says, kala machar. Come back tomorrow. That it's not always right away, right, that tefillos are accepted. Right, it's not always way that Hashem listens and carries them out. That sometimes it takes a long time before Hashem listens, even more than one generation. I mean, it doesn't necessarily, right, say many times. So even when a person davens, even though maybe sometimes his tefillot are not answered for himself, that it is, they stand as a schus for his children or his grandchildren. Those tefillot, sometimes they come back later on. Rabbi Yochanan Mishtai Zimna Chada Abba Kazlina Besfinato. So now that Rabbi Rechana got going, they got Rabbi Yochanan now here to add to the fray. It says one day we were going along in a boat. V'chazina now kavra the afke the reishim miyama that he had this fish that took his head out of the ocean. V'damian great ainay kitreciare. His eyes were like two moons. V'nafutz mayim itarate zime and his water was pouring out of his two nostrils. Kitre mavre de sura like the two rivers in sura. Safra Mishkaya, Safra tells him, Chadav Kazina Besfinato, says, right, you can imagine they're all, obviously they're not peers, but they're all sitting around telling, I'll tell you a story, right, I was out on a boat, and I'll tell you what I saw. So here's Rav Safra, tells one time, what I saw on a boat, Chazina Au Kavra, the Afke, the Reishim, Imeyamo, he took his head out of the water, Vavile Karne, he had horns, Vachaki Kalei, and written on those horns, Ana Bria Kalash Biyam, that I'm one of the small ones, I'm the smallest of those that are found in the ocean. Ravina and Flat Mea Parse, there was 300 parsot, Azilna the Puma de Livyoton. Right, I'm 300 parse away, and I'm heading for, I'm the Livyoton's lunch for today. Right, that's 300 parse away. I'm Ravashi Au Iza de Yama. What you saw was, the Iza de Yama was the goat of the Yam, the Bechisha Vitle Karna. Right, that is, it digs in the, on the floor of the ocean, and that's why it needs a horns. So I can go and dig below the ocean, that's, this the concept that Chazal say that every animal on the earth has a comparable animal that matches it in the water. So that's what he says. This is the Izdiyama, that it's a fish with horns on it. Right. Rabbi Yochanan said one time we were on a spina. We saw this kartalita, saw this chest, right, that had all these on it, these avanim tovot, these precious stones of margaliot and gems, v'hadri la mine de kavre, de mikre karsha, right, so that there was, there was this end of this fish, that's called the karsha, right, that it was, that was guarding it, or watching over it. Nachit bara murai, so one of these divers, right, that went down to go get it, right, the divers, the specialty divers, tuyav ragash, right, so that he felt him, meaning that this fish that's guarding it saw the diver. He wanted to bite off his leg, right, his thigh. Vishada zika de chalo, he took some vinegar, right, the vinachat, and vinachat, he shot the vinegar and went away. Nafak bat kalav amarlan, ma'is lechu ba'ade kartalita, right, what are you doing with this chest? Meaning that you sprinkle this vinegar on the eyes, what are you doing with this chest? Right, well, whose chest is it? Kartalita, the bitut rabbi chanina ben dosa. This is the chest that belongs to the wife of Rav Chanina ben Dosa, the famous story in the Gemara in Tanis. Rav Chanina ben Dosa, right? They were tremendously poor. Right, they were in poverty. And all the miracles the Gemara talks about that happened to Rav Chanina ben Dosa. His wife said to him one time after the neighbors made fun of her that she had nothing to cook, that she had an empty oven. She says, well, you know, do something. So the Rav Chanina does some davens, and a golden leg from a table comes down, min hashamayim. Right? And then she thinks about it. She says, oh my gosh, this is going to be everybody else that have a dream that everybody else's table in Shemayim is going to have three legs. Mine will have one leg. She says, go give it back. And the Gemara says there that the Neis HaSheni was greater than the Neis HaRishon. That the fact that they took it back when she gave it back. So this says over here that this is the reward for the wife of Rav Chanina ben Dosa, who was not willing to, that she held out, that she didn't want to take the her reward in this world. That you're going to be the what's in this chest that will be there will be the tcheles that belongs to tzaddikim right in the future. So that's the what's her reward, what's left for her, the atid lavo, because she wasn't willing to accept in this world her reward from the olam haba. That's what's waiting for her because she made that that decision. Right, that the inside the chest is the tchelet, which was a royal clothing that will be available. Right, not for tzitzis necessarily. No, for the tzaddikim le'olam da'ate. Right, and sometimes the Gemara does use. It's a very good point. The Gemara does use the word tchelta as tzitzis when it's in a sugi of tzitzis. But over here, right, sometimes it's using tchelta. I think maybe over here it's using it just as a beged. I mean, because I don't unless no, I don't know. So, right. Right, I was going to say that. I didn't want to say it, but I was going to say the possibility is that it is tzitzit over here, and that women would wear tzitzit, which is from the Gemara Menachot, which also that there the Gemara says one of the Amoraim used to make tzitzit l'chol b'nei beito, including, it sounds like, his for his wife as well, that the chiyuv tzitzit. So that question over here, would the question would arise. I don't want to go down that route because it's a much more complex sugya. Right.
The Shach's Lublin's pshat is that she aseder l'hatzniya b'tcheles l'tzadikim l'olam ha.
That she will have tcheles to put tzitzis.
She will reward the tzadikim for the male tzadikim l'olam
ha. All right, I don't know if that doesn't sound like a reward for her. All right. V'chazina v'ahu evin tava. We saw also this beautiful stone. V'ahadir la tanina, right, that was being held onto or is being worn by this. Where did I? Oh, I skipped. Thank you. Very good. Yeah, thank you. Rabbi Yehuda Hindoa. So over here, it sounds like he's from right from India. Right, it's like the Indian Rabbi Yehuda. We're going on a boat. We saw this great gem or precious stone. That was being worn by a one of these sea monsters. Right. A diver went down. Latuya. He went to get it. Adatanina, Kabaila Mivlala, right, the Svinota. He wanted to swallow. Now, this time, forget about the diver. He wanted the whole boat. He was going to swallow the whole boat. Ata Pishkanza, a raven came, Paske the Reshe, popped his head open, meaning it popped the head of the, pecked away the head, or popped the head open of the Itanina, right? Tapuche Maya, right? The water turned, Vabadama, became blood. There was so much blood from the size of this animal that was killed, there was blood everywhere. Ata tanina chavre. So, you know, of course, blood shows up. You know, who shows up? The other sea monster shows up. Shakle, he took it. Vitalale, and he placed it around the neck of the tanina that was dead. Vichaya, and it came back to life. So it's clear that this is the stone of Tchiyat HaMeitim, right, of some sort. Other ata kabai balo l'sfinato. So he wanted to come back. He said, well, let me finish my job here. Went back to swallow the boat again. Other ata tzipra paska l'reshe. Another bird came, popped open its head and killed it again. Shaklula hayevin tava. So the tzipor went ahead and grabbed the precious stone this time. Shadula svinata. And he threw it into the ship. So that way they couldn't revive the tanin again. Avuhani tziporim elichein. So we wanted to test it out, see how good this stone was. We had these salted birds that we had captured that were on our boat to eat. Right? Bahadan otvino alayu. So we put the stone on these birds. Sure enough, shaklula uparchula bada. They woke up and they flew off with the stone itself. They took off with the stone. Right. Coming in a boat, Rabbi Lazar Yashan, Rabbi Yeshua Neor. Right, so he was Yashan, I'm sorry, he was sleeping, right? He wasn't old, he was sleeping. Rabbi Yeshua Neor. Right, he was up, Nizdazeh Rabbi Yeshua Vinanair. So he was Neor, so you shake, you know, Rabbi Yeshua was up, was moving around, and he shook Rabbi Yeshua Vinanair, right, Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Shua was, he was tossing in his sleep. He was bothered by something, and he woke up. Rabbi Elazar. I'm like, Mazze Yeshua, Mipnei Man is Dadat. What's causing you to be this discomfort? So I'm like, Maor Gadol Reit Beyama. So this huge light out on the sea. Maybe so in the eyes of the Yatan, Dichtiv, Enav, Ki Afafe Shachar, right? That it's like slivers of the morning, or the glimmers of the morning, right? Afafe, as the eye, the eyes that go open and close, the beginning of light. It is, right? The slivers or glimmers of the morning. We go in the midbar v'habai atma the bisra v'hadan. We had with us a thigh, some meat to eat. Patachna v'nakrina. We went ahead and we cleaned it. We skinned it. We took out the the gida nasher. V'nachna as asve. We put it out on a patch of grass that was there. D'maitina n'tzive. In the meantime, we went ahead and we brought wood. We went to collect wood to cook it on. Chalom, itma. So he says, it got better. Meaning that chalom here means nitrape. Everything, we had taken the leg apart. By the time we came back, it was all together again. The leg was all put back together and whole again. V'tavinan. And then we roasted it over there. Ki'adran lebat tritza yarchei sh'ata. When we came back 12 months later, chazino lahanu gumrei, we saw those coals that we had used. Tahavu kamilachshe, they were still burning, those coals. This is the grass of Samatre, which is some sort of life-giving, right, or life-lengthening grass. And that's why when they put the leg on it, it came back to its whole state. And these coals are the coals of Ritma. Because it says, that they are the of Ritma, and Ritma were these great coals that burn for a very long time. So now it says, what are the Taninim Agdolim? They are the Arzilai Diyama. So what is the Arzilai Diyama we bumped into before, which is Rabba Barbachana describes the Didi Chazle Arzila Bar Yomei. I saw Arzila Bar Yomei, these monsters that we said before were some sort of unicorn or Re'im, right, of the sea. They're the Re'im of the sea. That these are two different Leviathan, that because the Torah says, "Shvayoma we've got Hashem b'charbo akasha." Say pasuk from Yishayahu says that on that day Hashem will, with his sword, right, kill out or cut off for the Leviathan. What was it? And the pasuk continues, right, which we don't over here. It says. That there's one nachash that's strong like a lock, which is the male, and there's and then the one the like a snake that is weavy and stuff like a snake, which is the female Leviathan. And that's what the Gemara is going to say in a second, which is that Hashem created a male and a female Leviathan. So he's quoting from that pasuk in Shaya that we just quoted before. He quoted them also, male and female. Had they been able to procreate, they would have wiped out the whole world. Why? Because they're so big that if they procreated and they created more children like them, they would take up the whole world. He went ahead and castrated. Thank you. The male, Varagni Kevan, killed the female. Umalcha, the tzaddikim, la tidavo. And he went ahead and he salted it to froze it basically for the tzaddikim la tidavo. Shnemar, Varagni tatanina shirbayam, because it says that it killed that the tanin, the great monster of the sea. Va'af. So this is a new, totally new thing. Va'af beimot bahare elef. And also the behemot that are Bahari Elef. What is behemot Bahari Elef? It's actually from Tehillim Nun, from Mizmor Le'asaf. Right? It's not the continuation of the pasuk that we just quoted, but rather from Tehillim Nun, because the other pasuk is from Yishayahu. Zecharnu Kev Abraham. Also these behemot Bahari Elef, Hashem created male and females. The Amalei Nizkakim Zelazeh, if they were to procreate, Machivim Alom Kolom Kolom, Maso Kadosh Baruch Hu, Sarisa Zechari castrated the male, B'tzinena Nekeva, and he cooled off the Nekeva, meaning that he also took away her reproductive ability, B'shamar Latzidikim Latei Dabal, Right? And he was able, he put him away for the tzadikim that did the vote. Shneimar, hinei na kocho bimotnav zezachar. That the koach of the, is in his loins. What does it mean, the koach in his loins? That he's not able to give birth. I mean, it remains in his loins. His koach is in his loins. Zezachar, uno b'shrei bitno. And his uno, right, that which is, his una, which is his first fruits, or the first of his strength, is stuck in his belly, zenu keva. Right, meaning that when you're talking about, when Yaakov talks about Reuven, he says, reshit, right, b'chori ata reshit oni, right? Right, so over there, we're talking about the same thing over, kochi reshit oni. I mean, this is the koach, and the ono, which are the, you know, the strength of the first strength. So one strength of the zachar is momodnav in his loins, and the, right, the shrei bino of the female is in his stomach. I mean, that Hashem removed their ability to reproduce that was kept in. Atanami, so the Gemara asks, wait a minute, why did they not come up with the same solution for the, Livyatan? Atanami, the slesser, the zachar, that's none of the nekeva. Why by the behemot, which are behemot that can go for, can see for 1,000 mountains, they're so big that they're over 1,000 mountains. Why does Hashem castrate, right, both of them, or remove their reproductive ability? By the, taninim, he killed the nekeva. Why? Dagim pritze. So it says that the Gima preached it, and it wouldn't have been enough to simply castrate the male and have the female still floating around. What about the other way? Why don't we do the same for the behemoth varelef? Ibaizem in a keva malicha male says, you know, the other pas, the fish, the, why did he pick the female to salt versus the male to salt? And it says that the female has, I guess, more fat, it's tastier, so that was a better meal. Hashem made the Leviathan to play with. So if you keep one of the Leviathanim around to play with, he keeps the male around because that's more appropriate for a Kodesh Baruch Hu than the female Leviathan. Alright, so Hachanami Elim Lechon and Nekeva. So it says, what about the Behemot, Bari Elef? Why don't we salt the Behemah, the Nekeva over there? Why did Hashem keep them around till Atid Levo? It says, Kavra Malicha Malio, or Mali. Salted fish is good. He says, "Bistro melicha lo mali." Fresh meat is better than salted meat. So that's why you wait for the behemoth barrel. If he waits to shech them until his man atid lavo, whereas the fish, he salts them right now because then salted fish, herring, right? So this is the original herring, right? Is good, much better than fresh fish. Somebody who demarav v'shach shabikay shakarsh baruch hu vatat olam amarlo l'sar shel yam p'tach picho balakom emot shavadam. So it says, Hashem, open up your mouth and swallow all the waters of the world. So I swallowed enough water already. I mean, I have to deal with my own, the yam and all that. I have to deal with over here. Why does he have to swallow water for the yam? Because even though, right, that's a kol ha'mayim olchim al yam, right, all the waters go to the yam, yam, right, so it doesn't get full. Why is that? Because the sar has to keep drinking the water there. He has to open his mouth to drink the water. So Hashem now wants him to make dry land. He's got to swallow more water. Miad ba'at bo vargo. Hashem kicked him out, killed him. Shemar bikocho raga hayam. With his strength, he divides the yam utvunato, and with his understanding, machatz, he crushes Rahav, its pride. So who is the Rahav? Right? Who's the Rahav? Meaning, Amar Rav Yitzchak Shemamina, so shall yam, Rahav Shmo. The side of the yam is Rahav, so Hashem crushed him. Bimalei mayim mechasimoto, in kol b'riyah yecholah lamod b'reichol. And if the waters, if he wasn't at the bottom of the sea, then he would have, he's so putrid from after being dead, and the smell from it, nobody would be able to stand for that that smell. Shemar? Lo yariu, lo yashchitu b'chol har kodshi. There will be nobody injured or destroyed on my mountain. Kemayim liyam mechasim, right? Like the waters that cover over, right? The yam mechasim cover over the oceans. Al tigri liyam mechasim. What do you mean, the yam mechasim? Of course, the water. But the water, the yam is water. What do you mean that it covers the yam? El sarash al yam mechasim. They cover over the sarash al yam. And that's why, because it prevents, that's why there's lo yariu v'lo yashchitu b'chol kachis, because the waters cover up the sarash al yam. Rami Yehuda Marav, Yardin Yotzei Mimarat Paimus. Right, so this is the Gemara here and other places the Gemara talks about this, that the source, one of the sources we know today, one of the sources of the Yardin is this Marat Paimus, which was in the area of Parmias. That's actually right, thank you. Parmias, which is in the area of Shevet Dan, when Dan went up north to conquer the second part of the Shevet. That's where Marat Paimus was up there, by the Shevet Dan.
Same words about
right, very similar, right, in that area. Right. Alright, Tanya Nami Achi, your day in Yotzei Mimarat Pamayas, Umalech, Biyamash al Sibchi, or Biyamash al Taveria. Goes through the Yam of Sibchi and the Yam of Taveria, the Kinneret, which we know, Mitzgalgel, Biyare, the Yam of Gadol, and then it ends up flowing into the Mediterranean, which is, right, Mitzgalgel, Biyare, that Shemigal, the Pipshal, Yviatan, and then it keeps flowing until it reaches the mouth of the Yviatan, where that's where he sits and drinks. Shinemar, Yiftach, Ki Agiach, Yardain Opiu. Right, that he is secure when he gulps because the Yardain flows into his mouth. And that's the source of water for the Leviathan. Exactly how to reconcile this with what actually happens isn't clear, right? All right. That's talking about the Behemoth Bar Yalef. That's what they drink. When are they secure? As long as the water of the Yarden is flowing into the mouth of the Yatan, they feel comfortable. Why? Because they know that's not the Zman of Mashiach. The vote hasn't come yet. As long as he's still drinking and still going, he's fine. But if he stops drinking, right, then that means that the time's come and they're going to be the meal for the tzaddikim. So then they start to worry. So they're happy as long as the, right, as long as the Yatan is still getting his drink. All right. These are the seven seas and the four rivers that surround Eretz Yisrael. What are the seven seas? Yamashel Tveria, which is good, right? With the Kinneret. Yamashel Sdom, right? Yam HaMelech. Yamashel Chilat, v'Yamashel Chilta, v'Yamashel Sivchi, v'Yam Aspamia, v'Yam Agadol. Right, I don't know, again, the Yam HaGadol here usually is the Yam Shel Aspamia. I don't know what the difference would be here. Whether one is the Red Sea, one is the, right, if one is the Red Sea and one is the Mediterranean Sea, and I don't know how to explain all of these differences. Be'elahin Arbani Arot, what are the four rivers? The Yarden, the Yarmuch, the Kiromion, or the Piga. Right, all of those, these are the four rivers, and those was even questions. About these rivers, because he says that these all sound like river sources or natural road waters, whereas the Gemara says that they're some of these rivers are psulim the mechatat, right? So why are they psulim the mechatat if they actually are live rivers or live spring-fed rivers? So it doesn't have to reconcile over here. It has different ways to reconcile how it works. But these are four rivers, the Yarden we know, the Yarmuch we know. I don't know where the Kirmiyun and the Piga are. I don't know if you have any help for where all these Yamim are and where these Narot are, but we're going to stop over here.